Okay, so let's start up. Briefly summarize what we saw last time. We know the Gemara in Zion distinguishes between the Poel and the Kablon. Only the Poel has the special het there, the special zechus of being chozer based off Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim. The Gemara, Lamaskana, holds that a Kablon does not have that special zechus. On what grounds would we distinguish between the Poel and the Kablon? So Rashi already told us that a Kablon is only an Eved La'atzmo, he works for himself, whereas a Poel is considered to be an Eved La'adon, and that's why he needs a special heter. We saw the Rambam Perikid Gimel Alocha Tesvav Hilchus Mechira. The Rambam there was discussing Onah. The Rambam says that there's no prohibition of Onah when it comes to a Poel. Why? Because a Poel is Dome La'eved, and Eved is one of the exceptions for Onah. The Rambam Halacha Yud Ches there says, Yirali Sha'akablon Yesh La'onah. That unlike the Poel, who is compared to be an Eved, a Kablon is not sufficiently analogous to an Eved. And that's why a Kablon does have an Isser Onah, there's a prohibition of price gouging on him. Chumas Hadeshon and Simen Shin Yud Ches, and this is going to become important for later, argues that the basis for the Rambam's distinction is our Gemara on Ayin Zayin in Bav Metzia. That because the Gemara distinguishes between the Poel and the Kablon with respect to their Zchus Chazara, we can infer that there's also this difference with respect to Isser Onah. So I just think that's important for something that Pesach Choshen is going to argue later. Notice that Chumash Hadeshon himself thinks the source for the Rambam's distinction within Hilchos Onah derives from the Gemara's distinction within Hilchos Chiras Polim and Chazara. Then we saw that there are the Gemara on Ayin Vav, Ayin Zayin, says that when a Kablon is Chozer, Yado al HaTachtona, that's one consequence of not having the special Zchus Chazara. We saw two different interpretations of Yado al HaTachtona. The Orthodox view of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch is what? What does Yado al HaTachtona mean?
Then you get paid normally minus any cost of the Baal HaBayis occurs by your Chazara.
Yeah, first calculate the Baal HaBayis' cost of completion. Whatever is left over, that's what the Kablon gets. Which is unlike the Poel, who Yadu al Halyona, first he gets paid pro rata of the originally agreed upon contract price, regardless of the cost that the Baal HaBayis has to incur to finish the job. You know how that looks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was the standard, the Shulchan Aruch and Rambam view of Yadu al Halyona. Avet al HaTachtona, the Shach and the Ravid had a more mechudash view. They argued that it could also mean that if the cost of labor goes down and the Baal HaBayis is only going to have to incur the fraction of the cost to finish the job, that's going to bear on the rate of compensation that the Poel is entitled to ligreisa, to the Kablon's detriment. So if the cost of labor went down from $4 for half a job to $2 for half a job, we're now retroactively only going to pay the Poel $2 for the first half of the job that he did. And the Pesach Choshen explained that by saying that if the Poel is the one who breached and he is responsible for the original agreement not being upheld, the Poel Kablon can no longer enjoy the original contract rate that he vitiated, that he destroyed. So that's why we're not going to give him Yadu al Yonah. We're going to go even below the agreed-upon contract price and give him the lesser amount, the rate of that contracts are now going for, even though it doesn't impose any cost on the Baal HaBayis. The Baal HaBayis is still made. Everyone's okay with that? Okay. From there, we moved away from Yadu al HaTachtona, and we saw that some Rishonim think, this is the view of the Hagos Ashri that the Shach cited, that if the Kablon was Mishtabe Bikinian, then not only is a Yad al Tachtona, but he has no Zchus Chazara at all. He has no Hofeldian privilege to renege. So meaning, if you have no privilege, that means you have a duty to remain. And we saw that means that the Bezdin can compel specific performance, they can compel to finish the job. And Rabbi Kivager went so far as to say that, if there's no Bezdin to compel performance, then you could impose all the costs of completion on the Poel. Right? Because we view the workers who are finishing the job as shluchim of this Kablon who had a duty to complete it. So that legal duty to complete the job makes you liable for whatever costs there are to complete it. That's different from the standard case of Yad al Tachtona. In Yad al Tachtona, your liability is capped by the value of the original contract. If I was going to be hired for $8 for the whole job, my liability can never be more than $8, right? Or it can never be more than taking away my entitlement for the job that I did. So if I was going to be paid $4 for half, I'll sacrifice up to $4 in covering the Baal HaBayis' future costs. But when it comes to this idea that you have a duty to perform, and then you breach that duty, we could saddle you with the cost, even if they're way beyond taking away what you would have made from performing. So if the full value of the contract was $8 and you would have been paid $4, you could be on the hook for $100 if that's what it cost the Baal HaBayis to complete. That was the view of the Hagos Ashri as elaborated upon by Reb Ki Baker.
Point to the key behaviors of the person who goes to the street. Do you get any of the principle of the original contract? Meaning those into half a job.
Leftover?
Yeah, meaning it costs $50 for this job, but yeah.
So we'll see. He doesn't really weigh in on that. Maybe yes. We'll see that the Machane Ephraim is going to say that because you have a duty to finish the job, the Baal HaBayis has no obligation to pay you until you finish.
Which would imply you get nothing.
Correct. Well, we'll see. We're going to talk about the Machane Ephraim later on. Okay, that's what we covered last time. And what I was pointing out is that the lack of the special, the absence of the special heter of Keli B'nei Yisrael Avadim provides insight into what the fundamental principles of contract law and halacha are. And it allows us to see what those core principles are without the mediation of Keli B'nei Yisrael Avadim, which creates these special heterim and exceptions. So you might say that Kablan is like a good way just to understand what the core dinim are, unmediated by these special allowances of Keli B'nei Yisrael Avadim. Now, this brings me to the Avnei Nezer on the bottom of page 25, who I think you see he's really thinking in these terms. Right, so who got a chance to see the Avnei Nezer? Adam, anyone else? What's his main question in the beginning of Siman and Bey's section Bey's, Mechudash Bey's?
His main issue is according to the opinions of the Kedusha Haran and who else? The Rishash and so on and so forth. That if you take the Hagos Ashri's idea that
the core observation.
Yeah, the beginning of the work by starting the work of Kabbalah is coined to the work. So the question, for example, if that's the case, and they hold that you're Kona, and therefore you wouldn't be able to be closer, then what's going on? What's the idea of being closer? What's the idea of getting out of that problem?
Yeah.
You have to get out of the relationship.
Yeah, so just put it more simply, even. He thinks that absent the special allowance of Keli B'nei Yisrael Avadim, right, which we know doesn't apply to Kablan, there should be no basis for withdrawing altogether. A Kablan should always be locked in and obligated to finish the job with specific performance. That's the Avnei Nezer's point of view. He says, look, if a Kablan doesn't have Keli B'nei Yisrael Avadim, Roy Lehizbonin, the Imkain Lamiya Yacho Lachserbo Klal. Why should he be able to withdraw? He should always have a duty to remain. So just, this is really interesting because he's assuming, well, until we've seen that there are always two dinim with Keli B'nei Yisrael Avadim. There's the Yado Al Elyona component and the more basic right to be chozer, the privilege to be chozer. He's saying that absent Keli B'nei Yisrael Avadim, there should be no privilege to be chozer. He should always be locked in. And he says, oh, Tagos Ashri Taka holds that way. Right? If there's a Maisa Kinyan, you are locked in, you can't be Choser. And then he proceeds to argue that, you know what? Every Rishon that holds Haschalas HaMelacha is a Kinyan, and he says a lot of Rishonim do hold that way, for Kablan as well, they would agree to the Hagos Ashri that if there was a Haschalas HaMelacha, a Kablan would have no Zchus to be Choser. He would always have a duty to complete the job. Okay. That's the Avnei Nezer's core observation. Now, that observation is just interesting because then the halacha really swings between these two extremes. If you're a poel and you're similar to an eved, the halacha steps in and says, oh, it's chus chazara, yadol yona, you could back out like frictionlessly, right? But if you're a kablan, oh, without that special chus chazara, then you're locked in and you have this duty to complete the job. It's like almost like a draconian kind of legal relationship. So like, the way the Avnei Nezer sets it up is like, your kabon and polad are exact opposite extremes. Okay? And you might say, it is kind of strange that we should treat a kabon so draconiously. So what's the Avnei Nezer's response to that?
He has three responses,
but they all turn on the same the same core observation, which is what?
There's a point at which a kabbalah stops being a traditional kabbalah.
Yeah.
Paralleling that.
Yes. He's saying the Avnei Nezer's core insight here, which I think is a wild chiddush given what we've seen, right, is that the idea that only a poel is like an eved, but a kabbalah is dissimilar to an eved, he thinks that breaks down under certain conditions. And there is a sense, or there at least are scenarios in which the kablan himself becomes like an eved and triggers the special zchus of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim. If not in its most robust sense, then at least to a certain degree. So it's going to trigger aspects of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim. And I just want to point out, that's a further chiddush that we can split within Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim and say, oh, if you're quasi-dome to an Eved, then you'll get some aspects of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim, but not all. Okay. Which is parallel to an observation that Yoni made in the last Chabura, that arguably, in situations where you're being chozer, you're retracting to work for somebody else, you're not fully like an Eved, you're quasi like an Eved, in which case we may only apply the Zchus Chazara without the Yad Ohel Yonah component. Right? Yoni, remember you made that observation in last Chabura?
I remember making a few different observations.
Was this among them?
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, like, you were talking about different models.
Yes, and you were saying maybe there's an in-between point where your Zchus, if you're only Miktsas like an Eved, then it's sufficient for you to have a Zechus Chazara without Yadu Ahal Yona. So if you're moving laterally, there's a logical case that can be made that you should have a Zechus Chazara but Yadu Al Tachtona.
Yeah, that was like one of the models.
That's right. So the Avnei Nezer is making a similar move here for a Kablan in certain conditions that he will have Yadu Al Tachtona but with a Zechus Chazara. Okay? So there are really two chidushim in this Avnei Nezer. A, that a kablon can be like an eved under certain conditions, which we haven't seen anybody say before the Avnei Nezer. And B, this idea that's out there that in a quasi-analogy to eved case, you'll have one aspect of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim but not the other. So let's look at his language. In Cole, you had a point? Cole? You have to talk very loudly.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Just talk loudly.
Okay. Maybe this is exactly what the Avnei...
We can't hear you.
But how about now? Can you hear me now?
Just talk with gusto and enthusiasm.
All right. How about this? There's a limit because I'm is it better?
That's better. Stay at that decibel.
Okay. What? What's so funny?
You say you're going to talk loudly, and then you end up whispering.
All right. I'm sorry. Do you think that the
excellent?
Do you think it's possible that the tighter relationship between the kablan and the employer with the opinion that he makes on the thing that he proving or whatever it is, as opposed to just the worker who
yes.
has no relationship really.
That's one view in the affirmative. So Cole is pointing out, this is a point I want to get to a little later, about what exactly is the difference between a kablan and a poel. Cole's saying maybe it has to do that there's just a fundamentally different kind of relationship between the kablan and the employer versus the poel and the employer. The poel is somehow in a kinyan with the employer, whereas the Koblen is in a kinyan with the thing that he's working on. Is that what you're getting at, Cole?
Yeah, I said
that
based on the Gemara and Bava
Metzia. Yes. Uman kona bishvachkli.
Yeah, on cooked bait.
Yes, yes, exactly. Good. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a few minutes.
So it's reflected in the first answer.
Okay. Well.
The first answer of the.
Yeah. So let's look at the. We'll get to Cole's point in a few minutes. Let's look at the Avnei Nezer's 3 points. So again, the Avnei Nezer is trying to explain why there should be a chus chazar altogether for a kablon. And Yoni, why don't you take us through Sif Zayin? Bhina Yishlafarish Bechama Gavni, Ha'echad.
Ha'echad, the Achilok Shebein Poel, the Kabbalah, who not bad for Achiv. The Ethem Chiv Poel, who have Voda, Shiyavu, Etzlo, in Chilok Mapal, Vavodato.
Yeah.
She'en Kin Akabbalah, Netzim Achiv, who Tiku Nadavar, Shintai, Vatakin, Ve'ili, Tzura, Shintakin, Achifet, Bereg Echad, Bli Avoda Klal, Inu Chiv Yoter, Alkin, Inu Chayav,
Inu Chiv Avad. So what's his point? And I think I think Adam's right to say this is in the lines of what Cole was pointing out. What's his point? The fundamental obligation of a poel is labor. Etzem chiv a poel hu ha'avoda sheyavod etzlo. Right? So the nature of a poel obligation is work. A kablan, his duty is not fundamentally to work. It's to get something done. And then he has this nice like hypothetical, like suppose you could get it done without any work, right? You wouldn't have to do work, right? Ilu yitzuyer sheyitakin achefetz beregach at b'li avoy deklal einam chuyiv yoser. So you see that like you're not really an eved. To be an eved, you have to have a duty to work. A koblen has no duty to work. He has a koblen to show results. But then he says, and that's along the lines that Cole was suggesting. But then he says, hey, look, we don't live in a world where you could get things done without labor. Right? Umi kal makom meyachar she'ef shalot takin achefetz bilti avodaso. Yoni. Whoa, huge chiddush. Now the Avnei Nezer injects avdus into kablanus. Circuitously. He's saying even though the primary obligation is not to work, it's just automatically going to be there given like the contingent features of the world. Right? Work can't get done without, things can't get done without labor. And so he says, V'alkein, eino yachal l'chufa l'mlachta, why? Ki davar ze avdus.
Ki davar ze avdut, humashe ove higufo l'hashem
l'chiyo. Yeah. Compelling somebody to complete a job through labor is tantamount to avdus. So the moment we're talking about compelling specific performance, because that requires compelling labor, we're already back in eved land, and ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim will kick in, despite the fact that formally speaking, we're dealing with a kablan whose duty is just to get something done, not to perform labor. That's argument number one of the Avnei Nezer.
Is that true? If I have, let's say I was hired of a kablan, and then I have someone else to do the work,
it's still work.
Is that not?
Yeah, it's interesting.
So is that really a shibud goof, or is that a shibud money?
Right. You might think, but here he's saying, were we to compel specific performance? But
do we compel specific performance?
Yes, for the agolas hashri maker, then we do.
Well, the agolas hashri would say that he has to do the work.
Yes.
If there's a kinyan.
Right. And Avnei Nezer saying that all the Rishonim would think Aschalas HaMalach is a Kenyan, would say the same thing as Dagos HaShri.
So then he gets into Av, but then if he's in Avdus status,
he gets out.
Right. So how does that work?
That's his point. His point is that
Maker... Can't be like this?
Yes. Okay. Right. Maker Adin, from the pure formal rules of Kablanas, there's a right to force the guy in specific performance to complete the job. But if you were to have that right, once that right kicks in, then he's an Eved, and he has a Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim Azchus to be Chozer. That's why the Avnei Nezer are saying that a lot of Rishonim aren't going to like the idea of compelling specific performance, because even within Kablanos, under conditions of Kfiya, you're back into Avdus.
But isn't at least, you know, that was a street, like,
Felix from being
yes.
different?
He sounds like, no, that's still the fact that we're compelling you.
Because to, like, Huey wouldn't apply to being.
It's interesting. You might think that. It's a nice argument. He clearly doesn't think that, right? He thinks the moment they're compelling you to finish, do your job that's owed to him.
Yeah. It seems like because he's saying, like, Bazin is just doing the will of the...
Exactly. Exactly. They're just enforcing antecedent obligations. Yeah. Very good.
So within Abinazar, is he suggesting that even, let's say, the Ram and the Muhyiddin, who think that's one of the laws of the Kenyan, and who... Meaning, he's saying why they would disagree with Ago's Ashri, why they would say that even in the case of a Kenyan, there's still no... still a right to Chazara.
Yes.
So he's not defending the Ghost Tree, he's not justifying. That's wrong. He's just trying to figure out why in a world of Kinanim where get back out of Kinyan.
I think structurally he's saying that, look, I like the Ghost Tree, it makes a lot of sense. That was his first pass. Yeah. He's like, oh, but a lot of people don't agree with Ago's Ashri. How do we make sense of their position?
I mean, will you talk to anyone who holds the law of the Kenyan agrees with Ago's Ashri?
Right, right.
But the Ghost Ashri is not even sell there. So exactly. We have to find a difference.
Right, okay. Right. I think you see in his first pass, he likes the Ago's Ashri. He's just saying that not everybody buys into that.
Right.
So how do you explain their view? Noah.
So when he says, like, you know, there's a distinction between doing Avodah versus the Tikkun HaDavar, but... like on a practical level, you can't separate the two because it's really impossible. So if you have like a nafkamina of like automation where you could accomplish a goal that actually would you say that a kaplan wouldn't have the
shame evet? I think he would say that. And that's why his argument is limited to the narrow case where you're compelling performance. Right? So the moment that we're forcing you to work, then you're in evet land. And in that specific condition, you have a sukkas chazara.
Wouldn't that really just be in any case of
any case where we're going to compel you to do some physical labor, then you'd have to have a schus lachzor.
But that makes it seem like that would be true for Paul also.
Well, what do you mean? Paul always has a schus chozer chazara.
Right.
Right. He's trying to explain why it's just kablan yado al tachtona, but no special schus to, but no ability. Sorry. He's trying to explain why a lot of Rishonim think there is a. Ability to back out, even though you're sanctioned with Yadcha Tachtona. So Ago's Ashri denies that there's ability to back out.
Right.
Saying, what about everybody who says it's okay? Where does it come from? Kili B'nei Shalabadim doesn't apply to a Kablan. Saying, oh, it does apply to a Kablan when otherwise you would look like a Kablan Eved. And so any case of compelling performance would make you a Kablan Eved.
So we're trying to understand a Poel by looking at a Kablan. Which is like shielded from the rights of the Poel. But now we're kind of going back and saying,
exactly.
Well, let's look at the Kablan when the Kablan actually has the rights of the Poel.
That's exactly right. So the Avnei Nezer is saying, look, formally speaking, Kablan should have to be locked in. He should have no Zchus Chazara. He's like, I like that Ago's Ashri. And he's saying, but not everybody holds that way. And his answer is that their argument is that under these conditions, a Kablan is like the problematic Poel relationship, and therefore he needs the Zchus Chazara. Yeah, good. The second point that goes... Yes.
I think the
talk loudly, Cole.
Sorry. Even... hold on. Okay, is this better?
A lot better.
Okay, great. I just want to say that even if not... Problem is disabled from drawing. I think that a lot of the
Cole, you're going in and out of our reception here, so we can't hear you. Well,
I said a lot. It's
my speaker.
It worked through.
I was
able to hear me now?
Okay. Well?
Oh, really? Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I think that even if it weren't true that a Kablan was literally disabled from withdrawing from the continent, first of all, a lot of the differences between a Poel and a Kablan. Second, I still think that even at the level of like getting the job done, the kavla might still be required for a race for performance. It's just that you wouldn't undertake the act of completing it. But he's like kind of what Lodos is getting requires the kavla to be charged for as much it's going to cost. Get the job done if the kavla withdraw. And it was like in order to keep the lies from say that a kavla is literally required to perform the task himself, to maintain distinction even if you couldn't compel performance. But we showed him like much to say that, you know, oh, you have to, you know, for a kavla compel performance. Like you would still be able to think
You are now unmuted.
Hello? Yeah. Do you agree or disagree?
I think I need a conciser formulation of the main point.
You are now muted. There are a lot of people say that a kavlan, him, like the kinyan or whatever, literally has to perform the task. Okay? You can't get out. Stable from getting out. What I'm suggesting is, and cut out.
You are now unmuted.
No, you're here. We hear you.
Okay. And what I'm suggesting is that even if you go, that's an extreme version of the, like an extreme opposite pole from, you know, the pole of the ability to withdraw as grounded in Elia Buzzin. What I'm saying is that even if you didn't want to say that the problem is literally required for male himself, you might still preserve a lot of the conceptual apparatus distinguishing a kavla from a poel on the basis of, you know, the obligation to complete as opposed to just the task, as opposed to just the obligation to do labor.
Yes, and you're saying that I agree. There might be a difference in terms of the kinds of damages he has to pay out, and I think that's true.
I
agree that, yeah. And that's why they're going to have a distinction in terms of yado al tachtona, right?
I'm saying, you know, I'm saying it's a finish even to say. Yeah, I'm saying it's a finish even to say that it doesn't require the deep distinction between poel and kavlan to be preserved, even if there were no obligation on the part of a kavlan actually to, you know, hammer the nails in himself.
Yes.
But the Rishonim,
I agree. I agree with that. I think what's unique about the Avnei Nezer here is that he's applying this chiddush of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim to a kablan in certain situations, despite the fact that the Gemara seems to deny that it applies to a kablan altogether. Right? That's what the chiddush of the Avnei Nezer.
Okay.
What's the second case? So the first case of the Avnei Nezer is that if you're going to compel a specific performance, you would be like an Ebed, because then he's actually has an obligation of Malacha. What's the second case, Avnei Nezer?
Can we talk on the Yad al Tachtona business, or are we going to do that afterwards?
Why is it Yad al Tachtona?
Right, meaning the closer a kavla comes to a poel, right, the harder it is to understand why there should be a difference in
terms. So that's what Cole was saying. Cole was saying that, look, a kavla is still fundamentally different, and like maybe he still has like this kind of duty to get the job done. It's true that if he were to have to work, he would be too similar to an Ebed. But making him liable for the costs of completion is consistent with his fundamental duty to get the job done, and consistent with his not being an Evet.
So why does he word it in such a? Why does he not say that simpler formation instead brings in this whole discussion about
of Gufo and
Gufo? We started like a short time, we started on Gufo, yeah. But the chiyuv still exists nonetheless.
You know, Achronim liked to be exotic rather than just state the point simply. That's my reading of this. I think if you take the upshot of what he's saying, he's really just trying to get to this point. You know, there's like a chiyuv to get the job done, and that translates into like a kind of a monetary liability. But I want to look at these other cases, though. So what's case number two?
He doesn't want to work for the money anymore.
Yeah, kind of a wild case. He says, suppose the kablan is working for free. And you're like, gee, what kind of case is that where there's a contractual obligation but he's not being compensated?
Like rumor.
Right, I guess so. Right, right.
Working for a dog.
Ha'ofen ha'sheni al pi perish Rashi. He says, Rashi says a kablan is only an eved la'atzma, right? He works for himself. He's self-employed. Right, Ben, but what does he say there? U'pashut. Again, he prefaces like a huge kiddush with a pashut. It's wild, right?
Yeah.
You would have thought that a kablan is a non-eved in virtue of his having discretion about when, where, and how he gets the job done. And the Adonizer comes in here with a chiddush and says, he's only considered free if he's being compensated. But once he's not being compensated, then he's an eved. And he has a nice raya from Hilchos Shabbos, but...
And from Parsha.
What?
Great.
And from the Parsha Raya also. but he does say Yesh Litchos when it comes to the...
Yesh Litchos.
Right, it's not... Right, the Pashut is stronger than... Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is interesting in and of itself, because this is the first time we're seeing that compensation bears on whether you're an Eved or not. Right? Until now, we've assumed that your status of an Eved just depends on whether you have a duty to work, how onerous that duty is. Now we're saying that receiving compensation can mitigate the shame Eved. I think, and this is my ha'ara here in the brackets, this is somewhat in tension with the tour that we saw last week. Remember, the tour said that if you're chozer machmas yoker, a poel wants to withdraw just so that he could leverage the market rates to get a better salary from the balabayas. He can't do that because he's still being an eved lavadin, right? He's still working for the same employer. And we wondered, once we saw that view in the Pischei Tshuva, that maybe moving laterally is an assertion of freedom. Maybe staying with the same employer in order to receive better compensation is also an expression of your liberty. And then I said, maybe not, because nowhere, all these Rishonim seem to be assuming it, that money doesn't, monetary compensation doesn't mitigate the shame eved. I think the Avni Nezer here is the first person to suggest that it does.
That's not really the same. I mean, there it's a question of like amount of money.
Yes, good.
Well,
exactly,
yeah.
That's what I make that point. Achish l'chalik bin ina mekabel tashlum klal l'schumim shonim shel schar. Right? Baruch shekivanti. Right. Yeah. You're right. I think they are a little disanalogous in that you could say there's a case of how much money you're getting versus whether you're getting paid at all. Maybe it depends on the question of whether zero is a number, in which case the move from zero to one is also just, a matter of degree.
I think it's a much bigger hit, I should say, that once in, you're not getting paid at all. It's we don't have to agree with the Abbe Nezer now in Evan, but I think
That's a reasonable distinction.
Dramatically different than
Masking. I think that's a good point. It's an interesting point. But at least the Abbe Nezer is the first person to say that the fact of compensation is going to bear on your shame Evan. And he's saying a kablan who has a duty to perform without compensation is substantively a kind of eved, and therefore will have the zechus to be chozer. What does this have to do with a kablan who is being paid, which is the standard case that the Gemara is talking about? So the Avin Ezer here has a chiddush. Yeah, the kablan could always say, I waive my right to my salary. And then if you waive your right to your salary, now you're eved because you're a kablan without compensation. Now, Cole's going to say that's too clever by a half. Right, Cole?
Craziest thing.
What? It's not the craziest thing, except that I would say, first of all, it does sound a little sketchy, right? And you might say, actually, that there's a distinction between whether you're, to draw Hofeld, whether you have a legal entitlement to a salary and whether, de facto, you're collecting on that legal entitlement. When you're mochel on your salary, it's not obvious that you are annulling your legal entitlement to it. So Don is saying maybe you are. What does it mean when you're mochel, right? Am I saying, I'm no longer entitled to it? Or are you just saying that I'm not exercising my right to collect it?
Yeah, I guess if you
focus
there on that
mechila
would be
a good thing. Would be enough kamina, right. That's right. Maybe.
Also,
he says,
I feel like it's not obvious because it's your.
Yeah, it was your self-imposed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So long as there was a legal entitlement.
If I saw myself as an Eved, I become an Eved.
Yeah, but here you were, this kablanos you're entitled to schar for.
Right.
Now you artificially waive that. Does that put you back into avid land? The Nebuchadnezzar wants to say yes. I think it's a chiddush.
Like if you take your money and like just burn it like right after. Right.
That's a hire myself out as a poet. In which case I'm an eved. That's the definition, right?
Right. But here this kablanos is you were competent, right? You were going to be compensated for this kablanos. You're just not collecting.
Right. Yeah. No, but I don't understand why you're more concerned about becoming an eved that way as opposed to becoming an eved my way.
So the Baal Bais didn't buy an eved. He bought a
kablan, and now you're unilaterally turning it into an avdus to your benefit. Right?
It's
to your benefit now.
Only to get out.
You don't get that's true. You still have your chalal tachton. That's true. So this is the second situation where he thinks a kablan could be like an eved.
I was going to make the opposite argument, but it's kind of like yadar el yom. Like you can just decide at any point that you're mochav.
So yeah, I mean, Yad El Yonah in being able to trigger the zchus chazara.
Yeah.
So in terms of what you can do, but you're still the structure of your liability is going to be Yad Chalal Tachtona. I mean, you're first going to have to cover the Baal HaBayis cost of completion, and you'll just recover the difference. In all these cases, he agrees kablan Yad Chalal Tachtona. He's just trying to figure out why do you have the zchus chazara altogether.
Why doesn't he go the full way? Because
I think this is my point earlier. I think he thinks that you're not the same degree of an eved that a poel is.
Because
you still have discretion where, why, and when.
Got it.
But you know these small factors bear on making you closer to an eved, so it triggers half the dinim of kelim and yisrael avadim. That's why the Avnezer is so intriguing.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not sure. I think
he's not arguing Yadol Yonah here.
I think, like, practically what he's saying is Yad El Tachton is descriptive, not really practical. I mean, it's not like when you quit, okay, do we buy Yad El Tachton? He's saying, no, by definition, when you quit as a kablan, you turn to that, and the only way to do that is to no call your money.
No, I don't think he's saying. You're saying meaning yours.
In each case, he's saying why, based on the structure of this relationship, the natural consequence is get a lot of that stuff.
Ah, because you first have to waive
your
right.
Because of whatever machination I have to do to justify being chozer, that puts me in a wall.
That might work in that
he
second
really
case. Yeah.
Why you get any money at all. Right? If the only way to get out of it is you milk out all the money.
Right,
like,
then you shouldn't get anything.
Yeah.
Right. I thought he was just saying I'm mevater on my schar going forward.
Right, from now on.
That's how I understood he's saying. From now on, I'm being mevater on my schar. So from now on, I'm... considered to be an eved, in which case we kind of lahaba have his chus to breach.
Well, that's kind of that's what he says. That's what the tension is, because he says that like since you can only be demoted on the future, not in the past, so you're not fully an eved because like you still are getting paid for the past work.
Yeah.
So you are an eved for the future work. So, like that tension, you're only going to get.
Yeah.
It's not a full chazara, so that way you get.
Yadol tachtona. Well, no, I think you do. You get paid Yadol HaTachtona.
Right.
Remember, his whole discussion here is to explain, if you look at the very first bolded underline, in section Vav, he knows you said, Tzarech Lahavin, Lama Akablon She'eno Eved, Yachol Lachzor, Ela She'Yadol HaTachtona. Right, it's the very top of page 26. His point is that he's Chos Chazara with Yadol HaTachtona. I think that's clearly the position that he's defending assumes Yadol HaTachtona. That's not obvious, because remember, our Gemara seems to say that a kablan is chozer gets paid for what he did, just less the cost of completion.
Right, but what does that mean to say that I don't want to get paid my future value at this point?
I don't want to get paid for the rest of the job. Meaning, I did half the job, so for 49% I'm collecting. For the last, you know, percentage and a half, I'm mochel on my schar. Oh, now I'm mochel on my schar, I'm an eved. Uh-huh. Triggers the chus chazara.
By the way, I think the formulation here actually militates in favor of what Yoda was just saying earlier. The Avnezer, in his first answer, he invokes this, you know, ain't scarce Mishlam Tel Abasov. That seems to be more core to his argument. He appeals to it here, he appeals to it in these two paragraphs so far, and he's in the third yet. And it was a core part of, like, the structure of compensation explains why it's at all.
That's why it's at all now.
Yeah, it's not like a weird, like, halachic language to say some, like, other simpler points. I think that he's actually making an appeal to.
Where's which phrase are you pointing to?
The idea of inskirus mishlamas elabasov.
Where? Just give me some.
In the first section, it's the second line of the paragraph. Mikol machum et al.
First section.
Meaning with regard to his first chiluk.
Give me a sif number in the Avodah Zarah.
In sif zayin, second paragraph, the second line.
That's just Tosa's question.
The Yadav Tachtona is always
right.
He has three different reasons, each one paralleling the reason for why it's an event.
Right, but I think that
I don't think in spheres
of
time
or so. Compensation that's important, right? He doesn't say the reason you get that you're also Tachtona because you're a bad guy. He says based on the way that you worked. And based on the way that one gets paid for the work that you did and the way that you worked, you get a wall of as like a natural consequence.
Well, it's like a way.
See, so, yeah, I think the crucial line in that paragraph is just that mikam lakam kiman shen nishar hachiyah v'adayin ein sof.
Yeah, each right? One of them.
I mean, because you still have a duty to complete the job, as evidenced by ein alischiras el levasof.
Well, and in fact, in shtar of the gufo has a chiyah in general, but doesn't have one, but you just can't pay it except for the gufo. That's like an argument.
So I think that it's the fact that you still have a duty to perform, right. I think the fact that you still have a duty to perform the rest is what explains Yadol HaTachtona. I mean, analogous to the Rabbi Kiviger and Joshua Chiddush, just in a less extreme way, right?
I think it needs a clear cut.
Okay.
No, but each one, Zion, Chet, and Tet, each one gives a different reason.
Right. But I mean, like,
they're always matched up to the reason for why you're so heavy.
Well, I think his I think it's Kol Zman Shelo Nizbat LaKavanusa Tzarech LaHashlam HaMelacha. It all just has to do with the duty to complete the job. That's why it's Yadol HaTachtona.
I think there are differences between the formulation based on what you're so mad
at. Yes, I think what changes in the different answers is just what is it about, which feature of the specific duties of the Kablan turn him into a Quasi-Eved. So in case number one, it's being compelled to work. In case number two, it's not receiving a salary. All of those explain the zechus chazara, because they trigger a kilibin yisrael avadim, but the fundamental duty to complete the job still remains because of einol eschiras el levasof. Right? I think that's the core point, and that explains why yatchal tachtona, because you do have a duty to complete the job. Look at the third. Example he gives, Ofen HaGimel, so Sif Tess. Yeah, you want to read it for us? Ofen HaGimel.
Ofen HaGimel, Sam Karo B'Darach Hashem. B'Chei Amir B'Havei Eved Rach La'atzma L'Hashem B'Kabal Nuso. Ha'udat is Kol Zman She'a Kablam Rotsa B'Kabal Nuso V'Yed HaKabal Scharo.
Yeah, it's like you're only considered to be a self-employed Kablan if you desire performing the labor. Right? It's like you want to do this. Right, it's consistent with what you're willing. Okay, aval.
Aval, because a chazar bo in nefehu lehashlim balabayis.
Balkarcho.
Balkarcho, thank you. I didn't see that. Shuvu eved. So shuv eino oben machan atzma rak machan balabayis.
It's kind of wild, right? What makes you an eved is whether like you are doing this willingly or unwillingly.
That's every single case, though, right? Like, once you, if you want to be chozer, then you're an eved.
Right.
That's crazy.
Well, that's what he's trying to say. He's saying, like, that's why it's got to be that a kablon always has his chus chazara. Because the moment he wants to renege and wants to withdraw, and we're not allowing him to, then he's no longer considered to be working consistent with his will.
In some ways, this is very intuitive.
Generally, obviously, defined as anything, but that's like a. That
well, like, it's too. I think Donnie's saying it's too broad, right?
Yeah,
the Gemara seems.
It's like you can say that about, like, literally anything. It could be like there's a certain, like I'm really liking the work, but I'm not the biggest fan of, like, how far it is. It's against my will. Like, it's just like. It's even
so he could draw the line at whether, like, you want out.
Yeah.
Right? So. If the incentive is still, like, in the cost-benefit analysis, like, the incentive still
has to be circular also, which is, like, I don't know. Like, because he wants to get out, like, then he can get out. Like,
right, because he wants to get out, it would be considered avdus to force him to remain.
But I don't know if that's a fundamental part of avdus. Like,
that's the chiddush,
yeah,
right? The chiddush here, right? Especially given the fact that the Gemara seems to be drawing a conceptual distinction between, or a formal distinction, between the nature of a poel and the nature of a kablan, And the Avenizer is doing violence to that. Right? He's saying it's not a formal distinction anymore. It's just about whether like you're employed against your will or with your will. Right? It sounds almost like, what's the distinction between a Kabbalah and a Pogel anymore? Yeah. Right? It's too broad. Mm-hmm. But that's his argument. And again, it's a radical chiddush because nobody... The Avenizer is the first person to say that there's a dimension of avdus in Kabbalahs. Right? Everything we've seen until now is inconsistent with this.
But he's forcing these answers. He's saying, well, we observe that this phenomenon exists among some of the Shonim.
In terms of the Chus Chazara.
Right.
But you could have given a different answer and said this Chus Chazara for a Kabbalah has to do with the fact that Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim was never justifying this Chus Chazara. It was really just justifying the Yadol HaLiyona.
Like
Tosos in the Daf Yud, the first part.
Right.
Avnezer is assuming that you need Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim to justify this Chus Chazara, and then he's saying, oh, if it applies to the Kabbalah, then a Kabbalah's got to be like a shame, got to have a shame of it also in some cases.
But I still fully believe that when he's saying Gadol Dachon Yadol HaLiyona, it's still just descriptive in his opinion.
Yeah, but I don't think the reading sustains that. I think he means Yadol HaTachtona because you have a duty to complete the job. Okay? Look here. I just think this is also really interesting. Maybe this is
within this model, why is Yadol HaTachtona?
He says, V'had Yadol HaTachtona. So look what he says. This is wild. V'im Kain. So you see the paragraph V'im Kain that I'm highlighting?
Yeah.
Okay, read that paragraph from Yair. This is crazy. Okay. He's saying, I think that from the pure principles of Tzchiras, anybody who's chozer is yado ala tachtona.
No, you can answer it yet. That's a question.
Well, no. He look here.
No, it's not even a Zedol Tachtona. Why do you get paid at all?
Yeah, that's why you get paid at all. You have to be chozer.
Right.
And he says it is because in general it's a kind of chazal.
Well, look, I mean, if you go back to the preceding paragraph, right after the bolded section, Hadiyadol Tachtona.
Yeah.
Okay. So he says, oh, because if you look at the Ran, in a case where you lease a donkey without a kinyan, and the donkey dies halfway through, me'ikar adin, you don't have to pay at all.
Does this support
right? So you don't have to pay at all until...
Yeah.
Me'ikar adin, you don't have to pay at all until he supplies a new donkey for you to travel with, right?
Yeah.
Okay, which means that me'ikar adin, yad hachozer ala tachtona. Right, meaning the guy whose donkey, the owner is breaching in that case because his donkey died. He's really not entitled to anything unless you could complete the job. Meaning he has to cover your cost of completion. So he thinks, Meikra din, in any case of breach, it's going to be Yadol HaTachtona. Then he says, V'yesh Lomar. Why is Yad Pol Achozer HaHel Yona? Because why?
We don't make avdus so much.
It's crazy. In the Gemara, it looked like it was a din d'oraisa, Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim. There was no indication that this is a takana d'rabbanan. The Avnei Nezer now, who's now become so pro-chazara, right, for the Kabbalah, he's saying, oh, Taka, why is there a distinction between Kabbalah and Pol at all? Right? So he says, oh, really? Mikra din, there's no distinction. Both of them have a zuchus chazara. That's weird. It sounds like he's saying the Zchus Chazar per se is the Araisa. Mm-hmm. Right? But not Yadol Hal. But the distinction is Yadol Yon Yadol Tachtona. Why is there that distinction? Oh, Takonis Chacham Kedei Lohakel Al Poel Sha'al Yidei Zeh Yenokel Olav Zeh Smeav Du So. Okay? Because without that special Chus, Yeh Kasha Alav Lachzer Lahafzer Boschar Mikvar. Yeah, and a Poel, we want to give him a little extra Takana. Why? Because Av Shelo Chazar Hu Eved. Because a poel, even before he gets dissatisfied, he looks like an eved. Aval b'kablan shekolzman shelochazar lav eved hu eno tzarech letakin b'shuv midina yadol tachtona. Kind of a lot of gerrymandering here. But he ends up with the conclusion that everybody has maker a din right to be chozer kili bnei Yisrael avadim. On a takana drabbanon level, we distinguish between yadol yona, yadol tachtona, between a poel and a kablon. Why should we distinguish? Oh, because we want to give poel more rights, because the very nature of his relationship is as a quasi eved. A kablon, the nature of his relationship is not avdos until he becomes dissatisfied and wants to be chozer. Then he becomes like an eved. But we don't really have to protect the salary that he had made until that point where he became dissatisfied. For a poel who always was an eved, we want to protect the salary that he made until then. Huge chiddush. I mean, it's really a huge chiddush to think that this is all at a takana drabbanon level in terms of the yado yona to be chozer. Now look here, just in section Yud Beis.
Isn't that even probably wrong?
Yes. To put it bluntly, Paul's saying doesn't that mean it's probably wrong? Yeah, it's like Avnei Nezer is the game changer here, right? He's really just trying to change
it's like, it's like the
yeah, it's just out of left field, right?
I mean, it took a little bit.
Well,
yes,
he's just turning it into a Takana Darabanan. You're saying, how does Reb Dosa?
Okay, like, this is the reading of the Gemara itself. To suggest that there's a huge difference between Kaplan, to suggest that there's not a big conceptual difference between Kaplan's whole and Reb Roshut. It's not a huge finish. Like, if you have a Kaplan like Rav, there's a Mechalik between the two, but to what extent is he leaving Mechalik?
Yeah.
So Gemara has to spell out
right.
When. But you could have read it differently.
It's bridging the Kaplan Poel gap, and you're saying you see that in Reb Dosa.
Yeah. And the Kaplan obviously, his own creation.
That's
like,
good.
Like the formulations themselves.
Is not so problematic.
And also,
but relative to where all the other Rishonim are holding, it sounds very radical.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's also, what we talked about yesterday, or on Tuesday, was that if you think that the. If you think it's a difference. We were talking about that.
All right. To pick up the train somewhere. I'll take your point in 1 second. I just want to point out that at the top of Sif Yud Zayin, this is the very top of page 27, I think the Avnei Nezer himself sums up what's really salient about his view. He's saying in all three of these cases, Kablan Gam Kein Shem Eved Al B'Miktas, that he's reading in a Shem Eved into a Kablan, which we really haven't seen until now. Okay. One other comment on this. Where'd everyone go?
Right. I told Donnie that you would put it back in
the scene. Yeah, it's kind of all over. What happened here? No, I'll take your point, then I'll...
It seems like...
What is it, Kiddush Club outside?
The Kiddush Club is inside!
Someone's going to engage our club.
It seems like there's, like, for the Avnei Nezer, there's absolutely no distinction between them. Like, it's a completely artificial distinction.
Well, he does acknowledge that a Kablan only gets the Shem Eved once he's dissatisfied and wants to leave.
No, but by the way...
Right, so there is...
It doesn't even seem
that
like
small
that.
Distinction is there.
He only gets it once he leaves. Because if I decide I want to leave, if I became an eved right now, the chazal would want to get me out of being an eved.
No, it's once I don't want to work anymore.
Then I'm an eved.
Then yeah. I'd be an eved. And that's going to trigger this.
But if I'm an eved, then why don't chazal want to get me out? It would be at a wall of hell young.
Because I think you're not that much of an eved. That's my reading. I think you're right that maybe Avnei Nezer himself has something else in mind that...
Because it's called low chazar, a lot of it. It's abduso, chazar, so bang kafah.
Right. Is it the actual chazar or the desire?
I mean, what makes you an eved is the moment you're chozer, hurrah, you didn't want to be there, and that makes
it... Well, I think chozer is more the mental decision.
I'm done.
It's no longer worthwhile for me to work. You know, everyone has that point, right? It's like they check out before they actually
That's
leave.
That's not what closer vote means than any of these other...
No one quits and then decides that they want to leave work, you know?
There's also a Kaplan aspect of, like, saying, like, what would we pay? I mean, if the guy was a Kaplan and only, like, yeah, comes in because doesn't work anymore, then obviously they're running, don't need to do that much to get to leave.
That's right. Right.
So we don't need to acquire the bottom lines to pay it. Because, like, obviously you just want to leave.
For the Kaplan.
Right, for a Kaplan. But, like, oh, like, you actively want people to leave at all moments, so it's necessary.
Yeah. It's interesting. What exactly is the justification? You're saying because he's always a poel, because he's always an eved, right. You want to better his situation or make it better for him to get out always.
Yes.
Whereas for the kablan, it's more mikan lahava.
Kablan wants to get out. It's clear he wants to get out. So, like, we need something special to get out of it. He he's already accepted, he's always subject to order, he was mochel the money. So we're going
to no, but a poet could also want to get out and not be able to for financial reasons.
Right, so that's why we want to support the poet, because the poet may have been working for 2 days, and you'd be like, man, well, I don't want to lose my past 2 days, or the bloody scar. But the Kalban is already, by becoming an Eben, by saying, well, I don't really care about the money anymore, and being mochel of it. He's already done that for us.
Right, so are you saying... Are
so
you
we
saying,
don't need any...
No.
Wait, so are you saying that... A Kablan kind of brings it onto himself.
Yes.
And so, like, we don't have to protect him as much.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you made the decision to not want to work anymore, but that's all your own risk.
Yes.
Or I guess, whereas a Poel, we're saying that, you're stuck, and so there's less of an interest in protecting you.
Why is a Poel more stuck than a Kablan? They both agree to a contract.
Yeah.
Look at how does a Kablan get to the point where track, like when is it coming of it? According to Akhenezer, that only happens when he says, like, I don't want money anymore. So he's good, he already did it.
It's only once he's chozer that the Avdos considerations become relevant. Whereas, like, the Poel, it's constitutive of the whole relationship that he's kind of like an Eved land, and there's like a greater interest.
But that's not because...
Right, you're saying they're both as consensual.
When they first contract, they're just consensual one or the other. They just contract in different ways. Maybe once they create the contract, now one is more of an Eved than the other. But it doesn't mean that to begin with, one part is less consensual.
Cool.
I agree with that. See, my view is that, this is what I've been saying all along, I think what you really have to say for that is there is that it's not just... You're right that this last formulation sounds a little different. I think what's more sensible to say is that it's not a chronology difference. It's not just that the Kablan would be an Eved Mikan Lahaba and the Poel always has been. It's that a Poel is more fundamentally like an Eved in virtue of the fact that it characterizes the very nature of his employment is that he's an Eved to somebody. He's paid per time. He has to listen to his employer. A Kablan, it's really ancillary to the nature of his employment that Avdus considerations kick in. And so we don't have to say, we don't have to apply a full-blown Kibli B'nai Yisrael about him. It's enough to just allow him to get out. That's my maybe spin on the Avnei Nezer. Yoni, you're skeptical that that's conciliatory with the language.
All right,
let me just make one point, then I'll take questions, just to wrap up this part of the discussion. Look at the brackets here on page 27, the Rosh Leruveni. So I don't know. I actually just found him. I didn't even get a chance to look this up. Does anybody know who the Rosh Leruveni is?
The Ruvain tag.
No, it's not.
Is it the
Rosh Leruveni?
Ruvain Levine.
Yeah. It's on my Google. It shows that I clicked there, so I checked him up. Yeah.
Something
to what? But I couldn't look up the actual thing. I could probably check it out by Notzar.
It was the Rav of Davinsk.
But not Ramir Simcha. Before Ramir Simcha, or?
In Tafkuf Ayin Zayin, when it started, so that would be...
No, he was born in Tafkuf Ayin Zayin.
That would be
1820. 1820. Like 1820. Like 1820. So, the Masifta quotes him as saying, I didn't get a chance, I probably should. I even get the Masifta, I say, Huva Masifta. This is their quote of his position. Shebemes ifkia haTorah es kol akinyanim mipoel, she'yef shar lekenoso, she'yeschayev lavo, bein besachir, bein bekalbon, kadesh le'yachshav keved. The Torah is mafkia all the kinyanim, bein bepoel, bein be'eved. So it's like, you would have maybe had a strong regime of contracts, but the Torah says, oh, we're anti-slavery, so we get rid of that. But kind of like the Broid and Wiener article. No, you look like you're up to something no good.
What now?
You're
fighting the Rosh Leruveni?
Nothing says guilty. Nothing says guilty like the look on your face. Mishum kach. Okay. Ein afa adon in a mechuyev lasis olaham shechavo daso. Ela she'im ha adon chozer bo kanzos al chachamim shekolak chozer bo yadal tachtona. Aval lagabe hapoel lo ratzu chachamim liknos. Kedei shelo yeh muchroch lavod ligmar es melachto. Ela nishar hadin shegam kishu chozer bo yad al yona. This is the exact opposite of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer just said that the default is anybody who's chozer is yad al tachtona. Chazal made a takana to improve the position of the poel to minimize his exit cost to help him out. The Rosh Lo Ravani is saying the exact opposite. He's saying the default halachic rule is when you breach, you get yadol halyona, and that should apply to a balabais also. But when it comes to certain cases, but Chazal imposed a knas to penalize you for breaching. Meikra din, you could breach without penalty because there are no contracts, right? Torah doesn't want you to be like an Eved. Chazal then imposed a penalty. I guess they thought economically it's bad for it. So an economic consideration is bad for society if everybody could just breach the claim that they're not an Eved. But they didn't want to penalize the Poel because they wanted to protect his rights. So it's exactly what Avnezer is saying. Look, Meikra din, if you breach, Yadchal Tachtona, there are strong kinyanim. Just that Chazal wanted to improve the position of the Poel. He's saying the exact opposite. He's saying, Meikra Adin, if you breach, everyone has Yadol Yona because the consideration of Avadim says that there are no kinyanim, no contracts with persons. Chazal then came along based off the economic consideration to shore up labor contracts, make the economy work. They knast people who are chozer. But the Poel, they didn't want to knast. You see, they come at this, they get to the same result, but from very different perspectives. See that? So, by the way, he's applying, it sounds like Meikra Adin, though, he does think that Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim would apply to a Kablan also. Right? Sheb emes ha-Torah hefkiya kinyanim mi-poel she'iyah shar liknoso she'ischai lavod bein b'sachir bein b'kablan kidei shlo yechshav ke'eved. So on that point, he kind of agrees with the Avnei Nezer that, in principle, Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim could be relevant, just he thinks it comes in at a much more fundamental stage. All right, that's what I wanted to cover on this this discussion. Noah, you had a comment?
No.
No? What are you, I thought you could make a comment before.
No, I did make a comment before.
Okay. Somebody else had a comment here?
Whenever it was in the bathroom.
Okay, let's hear Yoni's comment.
So for the Avnei Nezer, how exactly did he understand can we even answer all about him? Like, what's... Is it exceptional? That's kind of like, I'm not sure exactly how is he viewing the relationship between Poel in general and employer. Is Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim like an exceptional allowance?
No.
Poel is like coming in and giving this special heter?
Yeah, for every Poel.
Or is more implicit within contract, this should be the normal rule.
For every Poel. And special cases of Kablanos. All cases of a Kablan who wants to get out.
But
at least according to that last answer. Yeah. Right, that last answer.
That's like the norm. He thinks he even thinks about it. Like, that makes sense. That, for him, that's like a very logical...
Yes.
Like, it's in some ways similar to the Breuer article, then. He thinks there
yeah.
should be...
That's the structural parallel also between the Rosh Lo Ravani here right. and the Avnei Nezer.
That's only for the last answer. Is that true for the other two also? Is he consistent in that?
Well, he's consistent in that thinking once your conditions are difficult, right? You're not being paid. Once your conditions look like Eved, then you automatically have this right to get out.
But is that because like that's like the nature of contracts and that should be true, or is that because like the Torah gives a special head there?
He doesn't tell us. I think more the latter, actually.
He thinks the Torah gives a special head there.
Yeah.
But it's more of the exceptional.
Right. Whereas the Rosh Lo Ravani is consistent with Aruch HaShulchan idea and the Deya and the Pesachei Tshuva that we saw earlier, that Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim is a modifier on the nature of contracts in Halacha.
Why do you think it's exceptional?
In the Avnei Nezer?
Yeah, what is the very fact that he like keeps talking about that?
It's just his substantive view about the nature of Kablanos against your will.
But doesn't the fact that he thinks that Kablanos is like a quasi-obvious?
I don't think so.
Why that he thinks that it's got to be fundamental and not just like...
It needn't, because he's just saying it's specific kinds, specific cases of Kablanos.
Sure, but if you think that the heter of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim is like a zero tachatu, so then yeah. Wouldn't you think
all in or all out. Either you fully get it or you don't get it.
No, I think it's, you still have the question of the scope of its application. So I think the Avinu Zera doesn't really take a position on that. Because my reading of it is that, you know, he doesn't say that this is like a modifier on the nature of Kinyanim and Halacha. He's just saying, oh, it's a safety valve when the contractual relationship becomes too draconian. Adam?
Where does the Rosh Hashanah get this idea that there's an economic consideration that limited the application? Like, where we have seen it somewhere?
Yeah.
Like, the fourth paragraph given.
Well, like, why would they knas him? Right, why would they knas him? Right? Halosh im adon chozer bro kansu oso chachamim. Think, where does he get the idea that it's a knas?
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't tell us. Yeah. But I think implicitly, if you talk about knas, usually it's to create a certain incentive or deterrent.
Right, but no one's ever... I mean, because the chacham to create this knas to stop people shouldn't back out of.
Yeah.
But like... Someone would have mentioned that.
Yeah, he thinks so, right? Maybe he found a manuscript in 19th century Dvinsk.
But then you quote it because it's not important.
Well, we have to look. We have to look this up inside. We have to get a better. I'll try to get to the original Rosh Lerveni quote and see if he quotes any rise. I think it's really interesting. We spoke about economic versus like moral considerations. This is clearly just an economic consideration to shore up contracts, right? Yeah, very good point, Adam. Okay.